who gets to live with God for all of eternity? Would you like to know? I know. Go ahead. Ask me. Ask me.
In the Bible, the highest ranking title that can be given to an individual is not emperor, king, pharaoh, or even high priest. The highest position one can achieve is that of servant.
I am introduced in the book of Revelation as one of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues. Revelation is the last book in the Bible, for good reason. It's about the end. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 9, I carried the apostle John away in the spirit to show him the everlasting Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. I gave an extensive description of this new dwelling of God. I twice reveal who is there and will live with God forever. Imagine me standing in the middle of an immense golden city. I look around unending multitudes of God's creatures. All of them have one thing in common. You want to know what that is? Go ahead. Ask me. Ask me. Take a moment and think about it. Maybe you guess all of them went to a certain kind of church every Sunday, had a particular doctrinal stance on a complex topic, or maybe they were good people with good intentions. None of those. Well, since you asked, this is what I saw. Endless multitudes of God's servants. Those who have already served him intently and will continue to serve him throughout all eternity. Your English Bibles don't do justice to the word servant. I'm not talking about someone who gets paid a fair wage and works when they choose. I'm referring to a servant who is owned by his master and has no other job but to please his master. I know this is a potentially triggering subject, but I'm not talking about a human being owning another human being, about greed and power and malicious intent and enslaving others. I'm talking about something vastly different. I'm talking about the creator of the universe, the very beginning and end of all time, the author and embodiment of love itself. That is the master I refer to. You can have no higher goal than to be a servant of God. A servant who has no other ambition than to serve him alone. I'm going to let that sink in. No higher goal than to be God's servant. Of course, if you think back through the Bible, you probably already knew that on some level. Who do you suppose was the first person the Bible described as God's servant? Go ahead. Ask me. Abraham is the first person the Bible described as God's servant. When the Lord came to him to give him the news that Sarah would have a son, Abraham described himself as the Lord's servant. He trusted God and obeyed him. Moses is the second person described as God's servant. When Moses has his first encounter with God at the burning bush, he has enough self-awareness to describe himself as God's servant. Many months later, during the incident with the golden calf, Moses observes that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were God's servants. When God calls Moses his servant, it is always a compliment to Moses. And at the death of Moses, he was called the servant of the Lord. From then on, he was often called Moses. The servant of the Lord, not Moses the lawgiver, or Moses who led the Israelites out of Egypt, but Moses, the servant of the Lord. Caleb is the next person whom God called his servant. God gave Caleb the highest praise when he said, "My servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly." Something to look into, wouldn't you agree? That description of Caleb shines more light on what it means to be a servant. Servant is not just obedient when he or she feels like it. He or she is obedient wholeheartedly all of the time. A list of others mentioned as servants of God in the Old Testament? Well, a partial list anyway. The Israelites, Joshua, Samson, Hannah, Samuel, David, and Solomon. Servant of God. The highest title anybody could achieve in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Who was called a servant of God or a servant of Jesus Christ? Well, here's a partial list. Mary, the apostles, Paul, Apollos, Tychicus, and Epaphras. I've saved the very best for last. Jesus. Yes. Jesus. He described himself as coming to earth to serve instead of to be served. In one of his last prayers, Jesus told God the Father that he had finished the work he had given him to do. See, Jesus viewed himself as a servant of God. Ask me who called themselves a friend of Jesus. I can tell you the list is very short. Nobody. Zilch, nada, zero. Everybody wanted to be known as a servant of Jesus, a servant of God. I suspect I've convinced you that being a servant of God is the highest goal you can attain, but I don't want to mislead you. It isn't easy being a servant of God. In the world today, the word servant implies a voluntary paid occupation. If you get tired of being a servant, you can just quit and go do something else. That is quite different than what is described in the Bible. God's servants follow God in Him only. They worship God in Him only. Don't be so quick to say you already do this. If you think back through the Old Testament, you will find that the Israelites failed to consistently do this. And you have so many other false gods and temptations to follow than they did. Think back to Mount Sinai, where God told the Israelites if they would obey Him and keep the covenant, that they would be His treasured possession. The Israelites concentrated on being treasured, but they often forgot they were God's possession. He owned them. God's servants put His interests above their own. They don't blindly follow a list of rules, but thoughtfully consider how to best be obedient to God. They're obedient to Him all the time, not just when it's convenient or easy. It's a permanent lifetime role. God's servants love Him and love His family. There's an example of this in the Old Testament. Hebrews in desperate circumstances were allowed to sell themselves into servanthood for 6 years. Now, in the seventh year, they were to be released from their bond, but God gave a special exemption. If the servant didn't want to leave his master and the master's family because he loved them, he was allowed to stay. And as a sign of the new lifetime bond, the master pierced a hole in the earlobe of the servant. As an angel, one of my favorite activities is watching people enter their new life. You cannot fathom the wonder and happiness as they are welcomed into their new heavenly home. You want to know the first words they hear? Ask me. Go ahead. Ask me. Not allowed to reveal that to you in detail, but here's a little hint found in a parable Jesus often told. A very rich man needed to go away on a long journey. He called his servants together and split up his riches among them based on how he evaluated their abilities. They knew their master and how he expected them to take care of his wealth. After a long time, the master returned and called his servants together to find out how they performed. The first one had taken 5 bags of gold and gained 5 more by investing wisely. The master was pleased and said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Well done, good and faithful servant.